Greetings once again. Welcome. Bienvenidos. Hola. Aloha. Weini hao. Namaste. Konnichiwa. Guten Tag. Bonjour. Half a day. Salam. Shalom. Peace now. Go vegan. Peace now. Go vegan. All we are saying is give vegan a chance. How can you have peace if you don't go vegan, huh? Well, from the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical vivisection prison industrial military complex of the United States of Listeria, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, the planet's first vegan radio program ever to be aired in the mainstream media, and archived and podcasting at goveganradio.com. Are you getting a little tired of the current war in Iraq, man? Can't handle another moment of the war in the Middle East? Yes, you need a new war now, don't you? Well, the media, the frenzy is on at fever pitch in the media, and the bugles are blowing, and Uncle Sam wants you. Yes, sign up for the latest war, for the war against produce. Yes, what is any red-blooded American doing anyway, eating those communist, Islamo-fascist, leafy greens? The terrorist du jour now is spinach. And, well, you know, you should have suspected something like this for years now, ever since King George Bush I said, "Read my lips. I hate broccoli. I love pork rinds. I hate broccoli." Why? Well, it might cut into the family's pharmaceutical revenues. I love pork rinds. Ah, they will add revenues to the family's pharmaceutical business. I hate broccoli. I love pork rinds. And so began the systematic attack on produce. The propaganda machine, full throttle, you know, on the attack. First Bush versus broccoli, and then, you know, back then, the seeds of the attack on spinach. Hardball politics, basically, you know, as Karl Rove always does, turn the opponent's strength into its weakness. You know, spinach was special. A generation grew up marveling at how spinach gave Popeye his strength. No matter what the odds, no matter what the obstacles, a vegetable, spinach, could give you the strength to handle it all. How could the war on produce be won if spinach weren't conquered? The battle of spinach had to be. Spinach would be the critical battle. And the brilliant campaign of public confusion was launched. Why, a chain of slashed food restaurants was strategically positioned. Suddenly, everywhere, there was a Popeye's chicken. Popeye's chicken. Now, wait a second. I thought Popeye got his strength from spinach. I don't know. Was it spinach or was it chicken? I know I saw those cartoons so long ago, I thought I remembered it being spinach, but, well, it says Popeye's chicken. All right, I guess Popeye got his strength from chicken. That probably, huh? Yeah, that health food? Yeah, I guess chicken must be pretty healthy, right? So, and, you know, and then the propaganda campaign in the war on produce continued, as in all wars when the enemy is dehumanized. Well, in this case, the enemy had to be devegetized, and the name-calling persisted. You're not going to eat that carb, are you? That's a carb. That's lower than low. That's a carb. Hey, your mother's a carb. You know, and, you know, by the way, I'm not just saying all of this because,
I know, and you're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
No, I think the war on produce is a serious issue, and its underlying cause of vegism, which, you know, we really learn at a young age. Now, we all know that racism and sexism and speciesism are wrong, but vegism still seems readily acceptable. People still buy Mr. Potato Head and give it as a gift to children without any remorse. Vegetables, you know, salads in particular, are called rabbit food, huh? And you know, those provocative statements just go unchallenged. And you know, here we are today. Hysteria over the latest terrorist, spinach. Is spinach really a threat? Or is it an economic threat, you know, to the meat industrial complex? You know, $300 million a year for spinach? That's money that could be going to your hamburger. And, you know, is the meat industrial complex somehow responsible for this new wave of leafy green terrorism? Is there a Bin Ronald McLaden somewhere in a cave laughing at us now? There are weapons of mass destruction. Vegetables produce E. coli. There are weapons of mass destruction. Vegetables produce E. coli. There are weapons of mass destruction. Wait a second. Vegetables don't cause E. coli, do they? E. coli originates from the digestive tract of warm-blooded animals and their fecal matter, I'm sorry to say, for those who continue to eat poop burgers. So when it comes to E. coli, the scoop is the poop. And it takes your investigative vegan reporter to come up with the real poop. Buried in all of these articles condemning spinach, and you know, maybe you've seen some of the articles. Yeah, I have a few of them right here in front of me. So I think you probably, you know what the latest has been on all of this, that you know, that there have been in a number of states new E. coli cases, and as it said, they hadn't pinpointed the source of the bacteria, but apparently there's been death and sickness in many states now, and you know, it's all pointing to spinach grown in California. And let me see here. Got one of the articles right here with the federal health officials saying that they linked the deadly E. coli to bagged spinach products. California farm company that also sells organic produce in 74% of the country's grocery stores. That's Natural Selection Foods, widely known for its Earthbound farm brand, recalling its fresh spinach products along with packaged salads. And the recalled brands were Natural Selection Foods, Bellissima, Cheney Brothers. What's up with that? Cheney Brothers, Coastline, Compliments, Cross Valley, Duraggio Brothers, Dole, Earthbound Farm, Emerald, Fresh Point, Green Harvest, Jansel Valley, Mann, Mills, Family Farm, Natural Selection Foods, Nature's Basket, O Organic, Premium Fresh, President's Choice, Pride of San Juan, Promark, Rave Spinach, Ready Pack, River Ranch, Riverside Farm, Snowboy, Superior, Cisco, Tamura, and Antle, and the Farmer's Market, and Trader Joe's brands, okay? And so you have spinach under the Trader Joe's and Dole brands also. Many of the people reported becoming ill after eating Natural Selection products. And the folks from there said that their organic spinach was not implicated, but the FDA spoke contrary to that, saying that there was no safety in the organic spinach either. So as you saw, it got pulled off the shelves and out of Whole Foods and all. And so you know, spinach has a major economic impact. There's still that warning. And so we're, you know, let's see, all the recalled involved spinach packed in bags with best if used by dates from August 17th to October 1st, 2006, okay? But you know what some people fail to recognize, and you know, by doing the investigative report on this. Oh, by the way, as I said, spinach is nearly a $300 million a year industry and has been growing with the popularity of packaged salads. Sales of canned spinach have fallen 14% to 34 million from 2002 to 2005. Sales of packaged spinach have risen. Sales rose nearly 36% from 2002 to 2005 to 158 million. So, you know, again, that's money not being spent at the you know, with the meat industry. But the important thing to remember here is that there have been concerns in the Salinas Valley over the years, and those concerns have to do with floodwater and contamination from floodwater, which means that the concerns are about water that has been contaminated, and that water is contaminated with fecal matter from cows and pigs and chickens. So that's really what it is all about, that that we're poisoning our water. That water is now contaminating our vegetables. And, you know, as it goes, the meat and dairy industries account for half of all water pollution, of course, half of all water usage. So that's an important important consideration here, is that E. coli, you know, whenever you hear something like, oh, well, the watermelon, E. coli from the watermelon, well, consider that maybe the watermelon was cut with a knife that cut meat. And here we have a situation where if you look deeper into the articles that are coming out, it shows a concern for the flood water, which is contaminated, of course, from fecal matter from the animals. So, you know, maybe you don't remember seeing that reported. Or and then again, you know, we're making this this big deal about the spinach. Of course, you know, poop in the groundwater. Is the poop in the groundwater an accidental byproduct of the meat or dairy industry? Or is it a secret bioweapon in the war on produce? You be the judge. And, you know, you be the judge if there's meaty complicity with the meat and dairy industries. I mean, why didn't we hear about a number of other food poisonings and recalls that went on? Gosh, just in August of 06, we have Sandridge Food Corporation, a chicken salad recall. August of 06, we have Dinner Bell Meat Products, a beef products recall. July, ground beef recall, Raise Wholesale Meats. Ramar Foods Corporation, hot dogs recalled in July. What else in July? We have frozen meatloaf from Nestle Prepared Foods. We have ground beef from George G. Rupersberger and Sons. We have Jumbo Franks from ConAgra Foods. Didn't hear too much about those in the media. What, a few months back in June, we have Wildside Processing Beef Sticks, and we have Thumann's Boneless Prosciutto. And let's see, back in May, it just goes on and on. I mean, just over the past few months, frozen meat products, a canned chicken soup, ground beef, chicken fillets, chicken toddler food, ham salad, dried beef, chicken noodle soup, all of these recalled just in the last few months. Meatballs, pork barbecue, beef sausage, chicken egg rolls, sausages. I mean, you know, where's the contamination originate, huh? You tell me. Well, August 4th, 2006, Lubbock, Texas-based Plains Meat Company recalls 13,000 pounds of ground beef, possibly contaminated with E. coli, huh? 13,000 pounds of beef. Where's the public outcry on that, huh? We have Unilever, United States of Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey, recalling 560,000 pounds of meatball and pasta products. Let's see for that. Okay. Tennessee firm recalls ground beef. Chattanooga-based Southeastern Meats, 4,337 pounds, August 5th. You know, all of this. So let's be aware here. Let's remember back. We talk on the show a lot about the, we had SCOBY Foods in the beginning of the year, double chili dogs with cheese, possible listeria, movable feast. In April of this year, smoked salmon, possible listeria. Also this year, U.S. Trading Company, JHC brand, anchovy seasoning, salmonella. Okay, let's see. Oh, a Pennsylvania company, Quaker Made Meats, recalled 40 tons of Philly Gourmet brand hamburger patties from 12 states. Did you hear about that, huh? San Antonio-based Pomex Spice Company recalls dried beef for possible listeria and salmonella just a few months ago. So why didn't the media fervently expose those food poisoning concerns? Could it be every commercial in the media is for meat? Yes, indeed. Most food poisonings are associated with meat and dairy. And as was reported, and we talk about a lot, reported on Dateline NBC not long ago that... And who knows how that even got on the air on Dateline NBC. But it reported 70 million annual food poisonings in the United States, with 5,000 immediate deaths. And then there are the future deaths from complications. So, you know, when are you going to stand up to meat, you know, to say we're not swallowing it anymore? How many members of your family have to come down with heart disease or cancer, huh? I bet nobody in your family has had any trouble with Al-Qaeda so far, but how about cancer and heart disease, huh? How much of the rainforest has to be chopped down before you give up chopped animals, huh? How many gallons of, you know, are we got a war for oil. How many gallons of gasoline have to burn to, you know, in the production of beef? It's estimated a half gallon to a gallon per pound of beef, and 26 billion pounds consumed in the U.S. each year. That's 13 billion to 26 billion gallons of gasoline. You know, we're at war for your meat habit. But, you know, how did the forces of meat and dairy enroll you in their ranks? I mean, how'd they get you to go for it, huh? Yes, sir. Aye, sir. Sign me up for the suicide diet. You know, we mock the suicide bombers, and you're on a suicide diet, huh? You know, I pledge diseases to meat slabs and the United Stakes of Listeria, and to the repugnant sandwiches stands one nation in intensive care with meat. With heart disease and cancer for all. Yes. When do we ban meat for good on a societal level? You know, we certainly can ban it on a personal level, and you can do that by going vegan. Yes, you yourself can go completely vegetarian and do your own patriotic duty to protect the country, to protect our produce. How else are we going to put an end to this onslaught from the slaughterhouse? Huh? I don't know how you feel about it, but Popeye coming down with E. coli poisoning. I mean, that's, you know, that's practically fighting words. I'm pacifist, right? But Popeye with E. coli, it's almost too much to take, huh? So anyway, on today's show, coming up on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, we have someone who is pretty much recognized as, this could be the intellectual leader of the animal rights movement, philosopher, professor. Yes, Dr. Tom Reagan on today's show. And Dixie May will, of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society, will be telling us about next week's big event at Golden Gate Park for World Vegetarian Weekend. And Tom Reagan talking about the conference coming up in L.A., The Strength of Many. And Dr. Alan Goldhammer, one of the speakers in San Francisco. We'll talk about therapeutic fasting, which I don't know if we've ever discussed on this program. I invite you to send a tax-deductible donation to support this program. Believe it or not, time is not free in the media. Free speech is expensive. I have to buy the time from the radio stations. They just don't let me on to insult all the other advertisers who are on all the other hours during the week on the station. So I need your help. So you can make a check payable to Go Vegan Radio, which is a project of 501c3 International Humanities Center. You can mail your check to P.O. Box 40246, San Diego, California, 92164. And or you can donate online where the show is archived and podcast. That's goveganradio.com. In about a week, what is it, October 6th, 7th, 6th, I believe is the Saturday, we're looking to start up on our second Air America affiliate, KLSD 1360 AM in San Diego. So I need your support. I need more money. I have to pay off these stations so we can come on with the vegan message, the message of compassion for animals, the message, you know, that solves all the problems complained about on Air America all week. So, you know, what can I tell you? But please stop eating animals and eat your vegetables.
Vegetables, I'm gonna chop down my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable. If you brought a big brown bag of them home, I'd jump up and down and hope you'd toss me a carrot. I'm gonna keep well my vegetables card off and sell my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable.
I'm always talking about how delicious Veganaise is. No vegan kitchen should be without it. It dresses up even the simplest foods, like my favorite sandwich, avocado, tomato, and Veganaise. Or is it mashed up chickpeas, celery, onions, and Veganaise? Or a tofu burger with Veganaise? Well, I do know I love it on baked or steamed yams. Well, you think you'd read about Veganaise in a cookbook, it winning the American Tasting Institute Award? So I was surprised to see Veganaise in a book about stroke prevention. Yet there it is, page 194, in Stroke Free for Life by David Webers, M.D.
Chair, Cerebrovascular Diseases, and Director, Stroke Research Center, Mayo Clinic. And who would know better about a Mayo alternative? Try Veginase, now in organic. Available at Follow Your Heart, Canoga Park, California, and natural food stores everywhere.
And did you know that Veginase is made with solar power? Yes, the Follow Your Heart plant is completely powered by the sun. So when you're getting your vegan gourmet cheese alternatives, yes, powered by the sun. And they are delicious, too. They melt. So if you want pizza, you want enchiladas, and nachos, yeah, you can still have them without that scary dairy. Vegan gourmet cheese alternatives from Follow Your Heart. Stop giving your family the bird. Get chicken-free chicken from Follow Your Heart.
M-E-A-T-S-T-I-N-K-S. Meat stinks.
That it does. So we'll have none of that around here. And also, you know, if a lot of people are concerned about essential fatty acids, and if your omega-3 is a little fishy, that's too bad, because you're actually depleting the oceans of marine life. And fish and fish oils often contain mercury and heavy metals, PCBs, and other toxins that accumulate in marine environments. Now you can benefit from the original vegan omega-3 DHA supplement, Omega-Zen 3, from Nutru. Yes, and this is a company that has your values in mind. Ethical treatment of animals, utilization of sustainable plant sources, a vegan lifestyle, energy conservation, recycling, less dependence on petroleum products, and yes, saving the fish. And that's what you're doing with your Omega-Zen 3 from Nutru at all Southern California Whole Foods markets, providing you with what you need in a very concentrated form. And the Food and Drug Administration has allowed Nutru to put on its Omega-Zen 3 label, quote, Omega-3s such as EPA and DHA have been the subject of considerable scientific research of their beneficial effects in terms of cardiovascular system, central nervous system, and other major bodily symptoms. So, what you get, Omega-Zen 3 at all Southern California Whole Foods locations. And check out the website from this wonderful vegan company. It's Nutru.com, Nutru.com.
Cows, pigs, and chickens don't want to be food.
So don't make them that way. And you won't find any cows, pigs, and chickens on the menu at Truly Vegan, a truly wonderful vegan restaurant in Hollywood. It's right there off the Hollywood Boulevard exit off the 101 freeway, Truly at 5907 Hollywood Boulevard at Bronson. It says it all right on the menu. And also what it says on the menu is we want to make a positive and healthful contribution to society. By using products that are animal-free, we are making a statement to ourselves and others that we are conscientious eaters acting toward the greater good of all beings, and how good that tastes. From breakfast to late dinner, you know, from pancakes and chicken. Of course, no chicken on the menu. The chicken nuggets there are really popular. As I said, the waffles are too. Great soups and salads and sandwiches and burgers and wraps and all the wonderful veggie meats and noodle dishes. Pad Thai is excellent. And Truly will cater. Truly delivers. Give a call over to 323-466-7958. 323-466-7958.
With Bob Lindsay.
This is the dolphins and otters, the turtles and all the whales too, plankton and cow, they all need our help. They're alive and depending on you.
This is Go Begin with Bob Lindsay.
I heard you the first time, young man, but I was enjoying that song, yes, from Renee Smith and Song of the Sirens music, Ocean Songs, Angel of the Sea is that CD. Wonderful animal-friendly music.
It's our place of water.
Angel of the Sea, Ocean Songs. That's available from iTunes and Amazon.com and CD Baby. And check out the website, songofthesirens.com. Songofthesirens.com. A lot of pleasant, animal-friendly music there. And that, Ocean Songs, Angel of the Sea. And, just a quick moment on what's been happening in the oceans, and I'm very happy that at least Last Chance for Animals got out there this past Wednesday and protested the dolphin slaughter in Japan. So I think that's an important issue. The consulate at 350 South Grand in Los Angeles. You may want to send a note over there in protest of what's happening in Japan to the dolphins. Okay, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and I'm totally honored today to have Dr. Tom Reagan as our guest. Professor Reagan is Emeritus Professor of Philosophy, North Carolina State University in Raleigh. And during his more than 30 years on the faculty, he received numerous awards for excellence in undergraduate and graduate teaching. He was named University Alumni Distinguished Professor. He's published hundreds of professional papers and more than 20 books. He's won major international awards for film writing and direction, presented hundreds of lectures throughout the United States and abroad. In 2000, he received the William Quarles Holiday Medal, the highest honor NC State can bestow on one of its faculty. Among his books, too, The Case for Animal Rights and Bloomsbury's Prophet G.E. Moore and the Development of His Moral Philosophy were nominated for the Pulitzer Prize and the National Book Award. The Case for Animal Rights was immediately recognized as a modern classic when it first appeared in 1983. And we've also had Empty Cages and just so much wonderful work from Tom Reagan. Major film awards include the Silver Medal for We Are All Noah, the International Film Festival of New York, and the Gold Medal for Voices I Have Heard. So welcome, Professor Reagan. It's great to have you back on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. It's been a while, but wonderful to have you here today.
I'm so happy to be here, Bob. It's good to hear your voice, and I just want to say that to your regular listeners and to those maybe who are listening to you for the first time, I just think people out there on your coast are just so privileged to have someone who's so informed and so witty, so insightful, and so wise, and I hope they will donate, send the money, because as you explained, I mean, you have to pay for this airtime, and it doesn't come free.
Right.
I hope they will support you.
Oh, thank you so much, Tom. I appreciate that. What attracted you to the study of philosophy, first of all?
Oh, gosh. That's a funny story, because when I went to college, I was an English major, and the particular college I went to graduate with your major in English, you had to take 2 years of history, including English history, and I just was not cut out to do well in history. And it just so happened that during my junior year in college, the college introduced for the first time a philosophy major. And I had taken some philosophy courses, and I kind of liked them. They were all right. But the big thing about it was, to major in philosophy, you didn't have to take any history. So I became the first ever philosophy major in the history of my college, a little school called Teal College in Greenville, Pennsylvania. But it wasn't because I was called to... for the pursuit of wisdom or something like that. It was just to avoid taking courses in history. That's why I became a philosopher.
Well, we were lucky. Lucky that that happened. Or the animals are lucky.
It's so funny when you look back. I'm sure everybody has something like that. When you look back on your life, I mean, there are just strange things that really do determine the path you take, and sometimes they really are very kind of incidental to what you're really interested in.
Yeah, yeah. I believe in stumbling into everything myself, too. So,
yeah.
You know. How do animal rights fit into philosophy, then?
Well, it was it's interesting. I was listening to the earlier part of the program, and it really was part of the awakening in my life and in the life of my wife to the need to try to live a life more committed to peace, a life more committed to causing the least harm. We were active in the anti-war movement, that other one way back in Vietnam, and during that period, I read Gandhi's autobiography and had a tremendous impact on me. As I say, Gandhi was the first person who challenged me to ask the question, is my fork a weapon of violence? And it became clear the more I thought about it that, in fact, that's what it was. I was just being implicated in a violent world every time I put my fork in a piece of chicken or a piece of ham or a piece of steak. And I was a big meat eater when I was growing up. I was from a working class, blue collar family, no blue blood in my veins. And I worked as a butcher in order to get through college to make money. At that time, I was deaf and blind when it came to issues involving animals. So it was Gandhi who raised my consciousness. And after making that first choice, that is not to eat animals, my wife and I, we then started making other choices, not to wear them, you know, not to buy products and test it on them, those sorts of things. And as I say, one day we woke up and looked in the mirror and we saw our animal rights activists looking back at us. Not what we went looking for, but that's where we ended up.
Especially if you used to look and you saw a butcher looking back at you, it's quite a transition. But
no, in fact, if I could just say this, because I really do mean this to everybody who's listening, I, in all my heart, I believe that if Tom Reagan can become an animal rights advocate, anybody can become an animal rights advocate.
Right, yeah. Well, I feel that way, too. I ate meat every day of my life. I won the White Castle hamburger eating contest, you know. So, but the thing is, though, from what I understand in talking to most people, that animals are here for our use, and we get that from even the Bible. It says we have dominion over the animals, so where do their right? How do they have rights when we're,
yeah,
you know, and thou shalt not kill, but that doesn't apply to animals, so how are we concerned with animals then?
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about this at the conference that we'll talk about in a few minutes, I'm sure, but out there in Los Angeles, and just coming up in a very short time. But I just think that there are any text without context is pretext when it comes to the Bible. And what we have to do is take everything in context. And when we do, and we talk, and they talk about dominion, it's very, very clear that that doesn't mean a boot in the face of the animal kingdom. What it means is that we are related to the rest of creation as God's emissary, as God's ambassador, as God's representative within creation. And I always take that to mean that God has dominion over us. So when we are said to have dominion over the other animals, I think that means that we are called upon to protect a good creation. I mean, because it was good before we got here. I mean, you just read the Genesis account, it was good before we got here. And our role then is to protect a good, and to restore a good creation. We're right now, those of you who regularly listen to Bob's program, and Bob himself, I mean, we are in the business of restoration. We're trying to restore a proper order between us and the rest of the earth and the animals in particular. So I always say I'm happy when people say, well, it says this in the Bible, because my view is this: we can either get up tomorrow and keep walking away from Eden, or we can get up tomorrow and start walking back to Eden. And the way you take that first step, the most vital step back to a good relationship with a good creation, is to stop eating animals. Because Adam and Eve didn't eat animals. All I have to do is read Genesis.
Right. Are you on a cell phone? Because we're having a little bit of noise in the background. I'm just
there is noise in the background. I'm not on cell phone. Regular phone.
Oh, regular phone. Okay. All right. Well, there's a bit of noise in the background. Maybe it's from the other lines that we have.
I don't know. But I mean, everybody, I hope you'll excuse the bad noise in the background.
That's okay. We can hear you through it. So
good.
Yeah, and we are looking forward to the conference, I mean, that you're putting together. It's the first time on the West Coast, the 21st Annual International Compassionate Living Festival, The Strength of Many. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, October 6th through the 8th at the Renaissance Montura Hotel. 9620 Airport Boulevard in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And you with the Culture and Animals Foundation and Animals and Society Institute.
And folks can get a complete program. I think probably the easiest thing is just go online to Animals and Society, and the program will pop up for the Strength of Many. Last year we collaborated on a program. We called it The Power of One. That was the theme of the program, the conference. And at that time we kind of celebrated the really wonderful things that certain individuals had done pretty much on their own to change the world. And this time what we're trying to help people remember is that for most of us, we're not that sort of person. For most of us, the work that we do by ourselves is not going to change the world. For most of us, the strength we have is the strength of many, that is, working together with other people. And that theme goes through all the conference for all 3 days.
Hmm. And really wonderful speakers at this conference, Jeffrey Mason, Dan Peraro. We have Dr. Capaldo, who was on last week from the New England Anti-Vivisection Society, and Sarah Beck, the primatologist, and Karen Davis, United Poultry Concerns, Christine Chavez, who's been a guest on this program of the United Farm Workers, who always proudly says her grandfather, Cesar Chavez, was a vegan. So
yeah.
She doesn't say, like, vegetarian. No, vegan. So.
No, it's a wonderful one. I have not met his granddaughters who are on the program, and I'm so looking forward to meeting both of them.
Both of them, yeah. Julie Chavez will be there too. She's been on the show also. So, wonderful people, and they'll be at your conference. Erica Meyer from Compassion Over Killing, who was on recently. Mia McDonald, World Watch Institute. Just a wonderful roster of guests. Kim Stallwood.
Yeah.
So I recommend that people go to the website and get involved. I know there are special scholarships for children, for students.
That's right. And there's child care available. We're trying to do everything we can. We're so happy to come out to the West Coast for the first time. We've had 20 conferences, and they've all been here in Raleigh, North Carolina, in fact. So this is a big adventure for us. And I should mention to those West Coast listeners, I mean, there are quite a few people coming out from the East Coast on the program that are not ordinarily out there. There's, you know, Paul Watto and Kim Stallwood and Tia Capaldo and Dan Peraro and Dana Lyons and Karen Davis and Miana Park. I mean, it's just a lot of people that are not normally out on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage everybody to come. It's going to be a time of great information, great inspiration, and just having a lot of fun, too.
You know, and it's rare that you have a congregation of heroes like this. You know, my show is a parade of heroes, people who really do, you know, people who don't often have access to the media, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just wonderful to get together with so many inspirational people. And the website is animalsandsociety.org/conference06. And there's a phone number, which is 410-675-4566, 410-675-4566, and I think it'll be wonderful. So
yeah, people strike out, they just do a Google search on Tom Reagan, and it'll come up, and I'll help them find a place. But I did want to say, too, that I want to join your anti-defamation case against all fruits and vegetables. I mean, I think they're innocent of all these reckless charges that are being made about them. And last I heard, I mean, fruits and vegetables don't poop. And if you don't have poop, you don't have E. coli. So I think that's essential for people to get that message that the media, to use your expression, just keeps leaving out a kind of key ingredient here. And it's really not the spinach
My phone didn't stop ringing from people saying, well, what's up with spinach? You know, my family is saying no more spinach. Look at, you know, I'm saying, well, there has to be contamination because E. coli has to come from the digestive tract of a warm-blooded animal. There's poop contamination somewhere. And then if you read, you know, paragraph 6,000 of the articles.
By the way, right.
Oh, by the way, there have been concerns for years about flood water because the water is contaminated here. Why? Because meat and dairy farms. How about that for for a, you know, a suspect in it, you know. So
it's just, it really is part of the conspiracy of silence when it comes to what's really going on and what you're trying to help people understand and what we'll be exploring at the conference in L.A.
Yes, we're all talking good. To Tom Reagan, the intellectual leader of the animal rights movement. He had a wonderful book called Empty Cages, Facing the Challenge of Animal Rights, and he said, being kind to animals is not enough. Housing animals in more comfortable, larger cages is not enough. Whether we exploit animals to eat, to wear, to entertain us, or to learn, the truth of animal rights requires empty cages, not larger cages. So you, I guess, would be considered an abolitionist.
I'm an abolitionist. I mean, I know we all would have been, or hope we would have been, when it came to human slavery, we would not have said that an adequate response to that would be to have softer beds and bigger rooms. We would have said no. I mean, that institution, the whole thing, shouldn't exist. There are some evils that are so bad that the only adequate response is to get rid of them. And this is what I think about our exploitation of animals. I understand it's going to be a struggle. I understand that it's not going to happen tomorrow. But I picture it, Bob, as the oppression of animals as this very big wall. Very big wall, and it stretches for as far as you can see, looking one way and looking the other, and it goes very high. You can't see the top of it. And that wall of oppression, you and I are not going to be able to knock that over tomorrow. But
maybe the day after tomorrow?
Well, the thing is, what we can do tomorrow is we can take one brick out of that wall. You know, we can end some form of exploitation. We just have to understand that just doing the one thing is not going to do all things, we have to be patient. Obviously, this is like any other social justice movement. I mean, the system relies on outwitting us, you know, outlasting us. They just expect that they'll be challenged, and then people will become dispirited, and then they'll go away. And then there will be another wave of people challenging, then they'll be dispirited, then they'll go away. And my message to all animal rights advocates is a simple one. We cannot become dispirited, because that's what they're counting on. We have to keep our commitment. We have to, if anything, work harder, fight harder tomorrow than we have done today. Otherwise, the animals lose and the exporters win.
Well, yes, let's all come out together at the conference, The Strength of Many. We're just about out of time here, I do believe. I wanted to do a lightning round of moral dilemmas. I don't know if I should try for another minute or so here, or maybe
I don't know the answers to dilemmas.
Well, then we'll save it for another appearance, and we'll see. See what we can do.
The main thing, as I say to your listeners, is to support Bob's work, because you're very lucky to have him out there doing that now for 6 years, for heaven's sake. That's what I mean. That's a really concrete example of the kind of thing I'm talking about, of not becoming so dispirited and quitting. You have to keep at it, Bob. You've kept at it. You're an inspiration to all of us. We wish we had you here on the East Coast.
Well, you do on the internet and podcasting. People can go to goveganradio.com, the shows are all there. So we're worldwide, and I really appreciate, of course, what you've done for over three decades. So thank you so much, Professor Reagan, for your contribution to the cause.
I'm very happy, and best wishes to you and to all your listeners. And I'm looking to see lots of folks out there in Los Angeles.
And you will, I'm sure, at The Strength of Many, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, October 6th through the 8th, Renaissance Montura Hotel, 9620 Airport Boulevard in Los Angeles. And once again, the website, animalsandsociety.org/conference06.
Ocean's protector, she lives in the heart of me. She loves the whales, the penguins, the seals. She is guardian angel to the sea. And I
And again, we were enjoying music from Song of the Sirens music. And again, available at iTunes, Amazon.com, CD Baby. That's songofthesirens.com. Oh, with great reviews, by the way. Nicole says, I love my mommy's music. You will too. And let's see, another major critic. Buster, the Labrador Retriever mix, says, this music is very relaxing. So definitely enjoy.
Still eating meat? How 20th century?
And if you are and suffering a lot of the problems of meat eating, you might want to include goji juice in your diet and change your diet to vegan, please, your lifestyle to vegan. Go to the website govegan.freelife.com to find out all about goji juice, all over cell rejuvenation, powerful protection against pathogens even, amazing arthritis relief, and proven cancer protection. It's govegan.freelife.com. There was even a study at Sloan Kettering Hospital in New York where patients were given Lycium Barbarum polysaccharides, the major ingredient in goji, and had a wonderful regression response rate. Anyway, govegan.freelife.com.
Don't want bird flu? Maybe you shouldn't eat birds. A chicken is a bird.
Maybe what you should be eating is your Sunshine Burger. Now you can run on solar power, too, with Sunshine Burgers since 1983. Now it is your turn to discover the delicious simplicity of organic vegan ingredients with protein-packed Sunshine Burgers. Protein from the sunflower, energy from the sun. Sunshine Burgers are simply delicious from simple ingredients like the original. Certified organic ground raw sunflower seeds, brown rice, carrots, herbs, and sea salt. Totally delicious. Or try the organic Zesty Southwestern Sunshine Burger. Ground raw sunflower seeds, brown rice, carrots, black beans, bell peppers, cilantro, garlic, jalapeno, cumin seeds, onion, and sea salt. Magnifico. Look for Sunshine Burgers in the frozen food section of your natural foods market, where you'll also find the barbecue Sunshine Burger with natural smoke flavor. No soy, no wheat, gluten-free Sunshine Burgers. Nominated as Best Burger, Veg News, huh? Protein from the sunflower kernel, also rich in fiber, potassium, iron, and vitamin E. The gourmet burger since 1983. Oven-baked, pre-cooked, heat and serve, and your solar power, too. You can visit sunshineburger.com. Better yet, visit the frozen food section of your natural foods market.
Why does Canada let the baby seals be killed? Shame on you, Canada.
Have you ever felt that that you really wanted to get away from it all? Like, really away from it all? Well, how about to your own tropical island? There's one available for weekly rental at affordable rates. Make your getaway to any Drake Island. It's an island in the Marshall Islands in the Pacific. It's a naturalist's dream come true. Rugged, raw, pristine, wild. 9.5 acres with a gorgeous 1,000-foot-long intimate coconut palm-shaded fine white sand beachfront, which curves around into a crystal-clear blue turquoise lagoon with a year-round temperature of 82 degrees. Perfect for snorkeling above countless varieties of tropical fish, swimming in their natural environment in the calm waters there, or you can be surfing on the other side of Anidrike Island. The entire island and 200 feet surrounding it are a marine and nature sanctuary and preserve, and there's even a mini rainforest. So call Rick at 808-735-1727 to find out about it all. 808-735-1727, or email Rick M. Kover, R-I-C-M-K-O-V-E-R, at yahoo.com. Basic cabins available and quite reasonable rates, May 1st through October 31st, just $3.95 for the week, and during the surfing season it's $6.95. So definitely check it out. And I want to remind you, if you're traveling around to different events, going to go to the San Francisco World Vegetarian Day celebration or to the Strength of Many in Los Angeles, always your guide to natural foods restaurants, vegan restaurants, health food stores, wherever you go, that's happycow.net, happycow.net. One calendar event that I would like to get to comes from some friends who sent me, who are quite upset. They're talking about the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, and they say, we're Jewish too, and we're very upset with a ritual torture and killing called Kaparat, the killing of infant chickens that's happening in Los Angeles. The activists say, Dr. A.M., the renowned Jewish educator, says, Kaparat chicken killing is not part of Jewish teachings or law. Dr. N.M., respected Persian Jewish doctor and teacher, says, I know more religious Jews than I can count, and I do not know a single one of the thousands of them that actually participate in this appalling act of Kaparat chicken killing. Former chief rabbi of Israel, Shlomo Goren, said, Kaparat chicken sacrifice is not consistent with our law and teachings. Kaparat chicken sacrifice is illegal and cruel, says LA Animal Services. So folks are organizing protests against this going on in Los Angeles. You can call them at 310-621-8788, 310-621-8788. They would like to leaflet, especially in Jewish areas around the Los Angeles area. And these are Jewish activists who are quite upset with the Kaparat chicken killing, which is happening soon in the L.A. area. So you can contact them. On to brighter calendar events, we have just a couple of minutes here to talk to the president of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society, and that is Dixie May. The website is sfvs.org. So are we excited about what's happening next week, Dixie?
Oh, it's going to be the best yet. This is our seventh annual celebration, and it's really a celebration of life, a celebration of life. And you're going to be there. Your fans can come and see you in person instead of just that voice that comes and tweaks them all the time.
My fans, I hope you have, you know, special areas set aside, bleachers, you know, lots of seats if they're my fans.
So. There you go. But listen, it's going to be so exciting. We have 20 speakers. I was just counting them. We have 8 cooking demonstrations, and we have tremendous entertainers and so forth. And you won't believe this, but, well, it's 2 days, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. as far as open to the public, and it's only $5 donation at the door. And if you are a student, children, seniors, free all day, or if you come between 10 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. It's free for everyone. And once you get in, there are various things you can do. There are samples of food, the free cooking demonstrations, the free lectures, entertainment galore. There's a children's corner, an eco-fashion show, and entertainment. Nellie McKay, the singer, Alexis Hart Band. And this year we're doing it, being co-presented with In Defense of Animals, so we're bigger and better and covering more activities.
So it's happening next weekend, so it's September 30th, October 1st, Golden Gate Park over at 9th and Lincoln.
That's right. It's next to the Arboretum. And for those of you who are down there in Los Angeles, come up for the weekend.
Right, wonderful speakers. Go to sfvs.org for all the information. Wonderful speakers like John Robbins, Howard Lyman, and we also have online Dr. Alan Goldhammer.
Yes,
he's with us now, and he'll be one of the speakers, and he's with the True North Health Education Center, and... a graduate of Western States Chiropractic College in Portland, and became a licensed osteopathic physician in Australia. But the specialty seems to be with therapeutic fasting. And he's co-author of the Health Promoting Cookbook. He's the author of the Health Promoting Cookbook and co-author of The Pleasure Trap. And welcome, Dr. Goldhammer. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's terrific to have you here. Unfortunately, we only have about 4 or 5 minutes here, so I wanted to get into a little bit about what you'll be talking about at
I'm going to be talking about this concept of the pleasure trap, which is actually a hidden force that undermines health and happiness. And it's particularly relevant to vegans, because although vegans have taken a huge step forward in avoiding, you know, the animal products from their diet, they're still vulnerable to this artificial stimulation of dopamine in the brain, which can happen from a number of sources. One source, for example, is drugs, and we all recognize that. Things like alcohol and cocaine can artificially stimulate dopamine in the brain, leading to an addictive process. But it turns out that there are also some foods that can stimulate those same neurochemical pathways, that same artificial stimulation of dopamine, and it leads to an addictive response to foods. And even though they may be vegan foods, that doesn't prevent them from undermining people's health and happiness. And certainly in my practice, I see a lot of people, despite being vegetarians, have significant health compromises, and it's because they are, in fact, caught in the pleasure trap.
What are some of those foods like that?
The foods that tend to artificially stimulate dopamine in the brain are the foods that are artificially concentrated in caloric density, so they tend to be things like oil, flour, and sugar products. And probably one of the best examples of a pleasure trap food is actually dairy products, because it has the unique distinction of being both a highly processed food and being an animal food. So we've got In fact, today, if you look at what human beings in the United States eat, about 93% of calories comes from either animal foods or processed foods, that is, oil, flour, or sugar products. And that's, the reason why people are fat and sick and getting fatter and sicker by the day. And as I mentioned, you know, being a vegan helps because at least you get rid of the meat, fish, fowl, eggs, and dairy products. But it doesn't prevent or you from suffering the consequences of eating diets that are dominated by oil, flour, and sugar.
Okay. Your website is healthpromoting.com?
It is. And in fact, we have a number of articles on our website at healthpromoting.com, which people can take advantage of, including information on the pleasure trap.
Okay. And what about fasting? We have about a minute.
Well, it turns out there is a way, an ancient technique, which we call fasting, which allows the body to escape the pleasure trap. It's kind of like rebooting the hard drive in a computer, if you will. As people go through a period of fasting, good foods start to taste good again, and it makes that transition to healthful eating much easier and more effective. And we've also published some studies that you can find on our website at healthpromoting.com with Cornell University and our colleagues T. Colin Campbell that show the largest effects that have ever been shown in treating conditions like high blood pressure, diabetes, and autoimmune disease.
And that's through therapeutic fasting,
and
which
vegan,
you supervise
diet.
You've had and a health promoting diet, and you've had thousands of people go through fasting.
We've had over 6,000 people complete this program of fasting and dietary change, and the results are well demonstrated in the studies that we've published that are available on our website.
I've had some of the people who have experienced your program, and they've called me and said, you have to have Dr. Alan Goldhammer on your show. You have to. So we do, and they can see you next weekend, World Vegetarian Day festivities in San Francisco, Golden Gate Park, 9th and Lincoln, and we look forward to your lecture there, too.
Great. Well, I hope to meet some of your listeners.
Okay, excellent. That's Dr. Alan Goldhammer, and go to the website. It's healthpromoting.com, and make sure you get out there next weekend in San Francisco. I'm emceeing, so we'll have a lot of fun together, and please send money. I just spent a lot of money on this radio station having these wonderful guests on. You can make your donation online at goveganradio.com, and if you missed any of these programs, they're archived and podcast there, goveganradio.com. Thank you.